there's meaningful and ongoing oversight of the operations. There's a privacy issue that I want to bring forward as well. As part of any contract with a third-party vendor authorizing access to government records, there's always the risk of mission creep. What in the contract explicitly prohibits ACS or any other third-party vendor from using the data it collects from the government databases for any other purposes? ACS is now, I believe, owned by IBM and has significant work that it does for the governments across the country, including contracts to track down delinquent child support payments and with the U.S. Department of Education to find students who fail to pay their loans on time. So there should be an explicit provision in the contract that prohibits any information they collect in doing the work for the city of Portland from being able to use that data or that information for any other business or purpose, and we urge you to have that happen. I also now want to raise some concerns about the compliance with Oregon law, and if I run out of time, I hope I'll be allowed to finish. I have very limited comments today, but I would hope to get a chance to cover them thoroughly because they're important legal issues. Oregon law gives local jurisdictions the authority to use photo radar, as you've heard, in residential areas, in school zones, and in other areas, I quote, if the governing body of the city makes a finding that the speeding has had a negative impact on traffic safety in those areas, and that's ORS 810-438-2A and B. Oregon law also allows the Department of Transportation to operate photo radar within a highway work zone that is located on a state highway, and it's at its own cost. ODOT may ask jurisdictions authorized to use photo radar unit in a state highway zone to do so. Section 1.2 of the photo radar ordinance, and I apologize, I don't have numbers attached to the copies, but it's the photo radar version, directs that the police bureau deploy the photo radar vans in school zones, highway work zones, and residential streets, and safe zones. And it further states that the strategic and focused enforcement safe zones are those locations having a high number of speeding violations.
Andrea, I'll grant you an additional minute.
Thank you. So there's two issues raised by this. One, you've heard some testimony today, and I hope it was just maybe more careless and accurate about use of these in work zones. It only authorizes use in highway work zones with ODOT authorization request, and I hope that the various bureaus are keeping records that can produce those records. More importantly, I believe and have found from other legal counsel advice that the city of Portland is this. Your council is the governing body, and you can make the decisions about finding other zone areas that authorize the use, but that you may not necessarily be able to delegate this, as seems to be happening with these 18 zones that have been created. So I really, really want to reiterate and urge a caution of whether you have actually authorized the use of these photo radar vans in these 18 or so zones. It does seem to not comply with the state law, which was pretty limited in its use. Finally, just briefly on the evidence of success, the photo vans, it talks about reduction in speed but not accidents. And we have seen some studies across the country now that show that while expected to reduce accidents and other safety issues, these photo radar red lights and zones have not necessarily done that. And I would hope that there's some continued independent, thorough analysis of the effects of these. So I hope before council proceeds, you will take some steps dealing with the contract and the scope of the use of this law. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. I would like to ask, I want to ask a follow-up of some
I
of the
appreciate,
people.
I thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that very much.
I guess we have perhaps, the team back. Yeah. Thank you.
So I am concerned about, do we have anything in our contracts about prohibiting ACS from using this data for any other purpose but what we intend it to be used for?
Yes, Commissioner. In the contract, there is the proprietary and confidential information clause, which says that the contractor ACS cannot release any information to a third party.
Okay, but what about if it's not a third party but ACS itself? I mean, can they use that information for anything other than what we intend it to be used for?
No, they cannot. Not without the city's prior written consent.
Oh, Commissioners, a little more on that. Actually, state law prohibits the use of photographs obtained by photo red light or photo radar for any other purpose than for just that, the enforcement of that particular law.
So it doesn't matter whether it's third party or the vendor itself, it's prohibited.
That is my understanding, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe just can I add just a little bit about the how the photographs are retained, how long? Previously, under the current contract, we had stored those photographs for 5 years, and that was for issuance and non-issuance, and that was a decision made under a prior captain of the traffic division, and the concern was if there was an appeal or something like that. And then after 5 years, they were destroyed. The current contract will bring in the storage of photographs in compliance with current public records law for a non-issued citation. ACS, the contractor, they store the photograph. We don't. They've got a secure facility back in the state of New York. And then after 30 days, that photograph is destroyed. For an issued citation, once again, public records law mandates we store the photograph of the driver and the vehicle and the license plate for 2 years. And then after 2 years, once again, the contractor, ACS, they destroy that photograph.
I guess the one question I would have, if I could, on the privacy issue is, if we have a clause that makes it clear that it's proprietary information and it can't be shared with a third party, how do we actually monitor compliance with that? I mean, it would be a contractual violation if it came to our attention, and we would have remedies. But how would we monitor compliance of that particular contractual term?
Commissioner, it would probably be best if I deferred to Mr. Vince Park. He's the representative here for ACS. Would you mind listening to testimony from him?
Be great.
Mr. Park?
Thank you. And the question, by the way, does not assume that we anticipate a breach of any contractual mm-hmm. duty. We're just following up on the testimony to understand what the protocol is so that we can be assured that this provision is, in fact, honored.
Commissioners, Vincent Kingsley Park, ACS, State and Local Solutions, a Xerox company, not IBM. We maintain our records. We gain our registration information through the DMV, and only the information required to issue citations. We don't get any other information as far as whether child support is owed or any other financial obligation is owed by the accused violator in any way, shape, or form.
And so just to connect the dots, sir, the data that you acquire in performing this contract mm-hmm. is not used company-wide for any other purpose,
absolutely
correct?
Not. Once we utilize the information to issue the citation, it the database is cleared. Okay? We get our information, billing information, and that from the Multnomah County Circuit Court, and once that information is relayed to us, then it's deleted from the FTP site.
Thank you. Commissioner?
I'm wondering, have we adopted findings about the scope and places of where these devices are located? There was a question about where specifically they can be located according to state law and that we have to have findings to establish that.
Yes. And Commissioner, regarding the safe zones, strategic focused enforcement zones, an acronym I essentially call them high crash corridors. That information is provided to us by PBOT. There's 18 zones designated in the city, and PBOT is the one that designates those. I know there's a representative here from PBOT. Once again, if you'd like to hear from that person, they could probably elaborate.
No, I think the question goes to whether we've made a finding. But, Commissioner, I would just, on that point, the issue before us is adopting a contract.
Right.
And this goes to the question of then how does the Bureau enforce this particular law? And I wonder whether it's outside the scope of what we're doing this morning.
That's a good point, Commissioner Fish. So maybe an ongoing question that perhaps if PBOT has identified the zones, but if council needs to adopt them as findings, then that can happen subsequently. I had one final question, and that was the request to delink the payment to ACS from the number of tickets issued. What's the rationale for the way we're doing it in this contract?
How it works right now is I get a billing file from the court every month, and we bill accordingly on a sliding scale for so many tickets per month at one price, so many tickets for another price. It's a sliding scale and a downward trend, and we do not charge the city for anything that the city does not get paid for.
So
I mail it, just because it goes to a violator or an accused violator, unless the city gets paid, ACS does not get paid.
Why do we not just have a set fee for renting the machine?
It's the way the city elected to And to administer.
Do you know why we're doing it that way, Christine or Captain Hendricks?
I do not. I think that the representative from PBOT would probably be able to answer that question.
So just to make clear, though, so if a photo's taken, turns out it wasn't the driver, then you don't get
absolutely
paid for that.
Yeah, right? Correct. Okay. Correct, Commissioner.
I can answer that question. Commissioner Fritz, I was on the RFP evaluation committee, and they were actually bid both ways. And we did the math on a set fee as opposed to a smaller lease fee and a per citation basis. And this per citation was a lot more cost effective to the city. We're actually paying for services used. If for some reason we didn't deploy photo radar for a month, we'd be paying a very high lease fee for something we didn't use.
Thank you.
Further questions?
I have just one final question. Captain Hendricks, I guess. This council's big on twofers. So if a red light photo shows somebody texting or on a cell phone, are we able to issue a citation for that as well?
No, no.
We're not. We're prohibited by state law, or we just haven't explored that?
Yes. We haven't explored it, but I think we're prohibited by state law, and I think, yes, Lindley can provide that legal answer.
State, and I did this probably 5 years ago, worked on photo radar, and I don't think it's changed. It's you are limited to the violation for which the photo is taken, which is photo radar.
So or if we did want to broaden it, we'd have to go through the state legislature.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Other questions? Well, thank you for your presentation. And before we go to a vote, I'll just clarify on the record that we would like from PBOT and the Police Bureau clarification under ORS 810.4382 sub A and sub B as to whether the what findings have been made by the governing body as to the locations of the various cameras. So with that clarification, Sue, could you please call the roll?
Fish.
Thank you for a very informative presentation, and you've answered all the questions that I had to my satisfaction. I'm pleased to support the ordinance. Aye.
Saul Smith.
Well, thanks for the answers and the questions, and I appreciated the discussion. I think a lot of people have questions, and hopefully some of those questions were clarified today, but I think at the bottom line of all this is public safety and pedestrian safety, and red light cameras and the photo radars are proving to be a deterrent to people to speed or to run red lights, and that's what the bottom line of what this is all about, and I think this is protecting privacy, and so I'm pleased to support this new contract. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
So once again, my staff and I had lots of questions, and I thank you all for answering them, and it's really evidence that city staff and our contractors do look through all of the questions and make sure, you know, you've already asked all the questions, and then Andrea Meyer from the ACLU came in and asked some further ones, and indeed those have already been addressed, most of them, and the other ones we will get clarified. I do want to mention that I have, in the information provided to me, the history of the reduction in crashes at these intersections so that there is objective evidence that they are serving the purpose for which they're intended. And I would like to suggest to council that we consider targeting the money, the net revenue from this, specifically back to transportation, to intersection improvements that will lead to safer conditions rather than it going just to the general fund. I think that citizens, very few people like to be taxed or to get citations and fines, but if you know that they're then going back to the make improvements in the system related to that tax or fine, I think that becomes more acceptable. And so I'd like us to consider that. And again, thank you so much. Aye. The
matter passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Leonard.
Thank you.
No, I'm last. I'm last.
Oh, you're last.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christine, we have, Sue, would you please read number 485?
Award a 5-year contract with ACS State and Local Solutions, Inc. for photo radar system at approximately $750,000 per year for contractual costs not to exceed $3,750,000.
Christine, is there any new information we need to address this companion ordinance?
No, Commissioner. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear. We were doing the presentation on both contracts.
Okay, I wanted to give you that opportunity. Okay, Sue, let's take it to a vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
The matter passes. Thank you. Sue, would you please read Council Item Number 486?
authorize a contract and provide for payment for the construction of the Northeast 60th Avenue and Klickitat Sewer Replacement and Rehabilitation Project.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. This project is significant, and I wanted to bring it to Council's attention. We will replace a 90-year-old, 36-inch diameter sewer line that runs between Northeast 60th Avenue, between Klickitat and Brazee Streets. There are 70 residences directly impacted by the work, as well as the neighboring properties. The contractor will also need to do some work on private property at about 15 of the residences, mostly in driveways. The city will restore all driveways, sidewalks, and pavement after construction. The estimated cost of the project is $5 million and will create over 50 family wage jobs. Staff is here if council has any questions.
Questions from council? Okay, let's, without objection, let's just take this to a vote. Sue?
This one passes to a second reading.
Thank you, Commissioner. Sue, could you please read Council Item 487?
Amend contract with Analytical Services, Inc. to increase compensation for laboratory services for cryptosporidium analysis.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you. The purpose of this ordinance is to amend the contract with ASI to allow for an expanded analysis of source water monitoring beyond the initial scope of the contract as written for the LT2 variant sampling. This includes employing a modified analytical method at the Bull Run intake, regular monitoring at potential hotspot locations in the watershed, including high-frequency and event-driven hotspot monitoring, and increasing the SCAT sampling data set to improve the pathogen models requested by the EPA in response to our submitted plan. The contract will be amended to increase funding by $575,000. The new contract total will be $825,000.
Director Schaff, welcome to City Council.
Good morning. Darn, you took my thunder and pretty much said what I was going to say. So I am here to answer questions. Yona Akagi, our regulatory compliance manager for the Water Bureau, is here. Yona is the project lead for our LT2 treatment variance project. As Commissioner Leonard said, this is a contract modification, and it's necessary because with all of the additional work that the EPA has asked us to perform in attempting to get a variance for our treatment program or our variance program, we've basically expended the original $200,000 for the contract. If you approve this, we will have approximately $227 left on the contract by the time the amendment kicks in sometime in May. And we will be using most of this. We have approximately $100,000 in a contingency for unseen circumstances over the next year for monitoring. Crypto is a difficult parasite to test for, and we've had a number of challenges in working through water chemistry and lab protocols to make sure that the data that we're pulling together for the EPA will meet their criteria. We're here to answer any questions you may have.
Maybe I missed this. This is specifically in Bull Run?
Yes. Right. This is for our raw water sampling. We have taken 2,653 liters of raw water sampling from December through March 15th and so far have discovered zero oocysts.
Other questions? Thank you, David and team. This matter goes to a second reading.
Well, can I comment?
Pardon me?
May I make a comment?
Oh, okay. We're not voting on it, but sure.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for being here. Thank you, Yona, for informing my staff and to note that it's unfortunate that nobody from the community is here to applaud this increased effort, this increased dedication of ratepayer funds to seek the variance. And thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your ongoing work and perseverance in trying to get that variance.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our official agenda. Are there any other items that members wish to be heard? Hearing none, the hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing it. That's the